UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. We are joined by David from Oregon with a sighting that he witnessed, as well as 8 members of his family, back in July 5th of 2019. The location was Bainbridge Island, west of Seattle. David has also supplied some photographs of what was witnessed that day, and these are available to be viewed on the podcast website at ufochroniclespodcast.com, or just follow the link in the description of this episode below. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find the link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for joining us today from Salem in Oregon.
Correct.
Now, your sighting occurred in July of 2019. Would you like to start with what you were doing and what you experienced, please, David?
Absolutely. So I remember it also because it was the lowest tide of the year. And so this was really the reason that we even got a chance to view this event. Was because my entire family decided to go down to the beach, enjoy the lowest tide, and see some things that usually are underwater. So we were able to do some real good scavenging on the beach. And so it was July 5th of 2019, and the event itself took place at 2:07 in the afternoon on Rockaway Beach on Bainbridge Island. The way that day had started was the family consisted of my parents, who are both in their 80s, and my sister and her husband, and then their teenage son and their 2 younger teenage daughters, all deciding to go down to the beach and take my 2 youngest with them. So I stayed back with my wife, my oldest, to clean up around the house and get things ready for the meal when we come back. So I actually arrived down to the beach at that time of 2:07, a little bit later after the family had already been down at the beach for a while. And so I drove down to the location as they were kind of coming up the beach towards me. I'm walking down the path towards them. My parents are seated at a little bench at the top of the beach, just kind of watching across the water towards the western end of Seattle, across the sound. As I approached them, my mom kind of looked like she was drawn to something up in the sky. She was looking and pointing, and she said, "Did you hear that?" And I kind of was like, "No." I was, you know, more paying attention to my two little ones that were coming up the beach, seeing if they needed anything. At that time, I kind of looked up into the sky and was looking, searching, kind of like, well, that's cool. It could probably be a jet or something if she'd heard the sound barrier broken, was my thinking at the time. And then my sister's son pointed to the sky and said, "Look, a saucer." And like laughed. And he's like, "It looks like a saucer." And so I kind of looked over and did kind of look like there was something moving oddly, with an odd shape, at which point I was like, "I need my phone. I don't have my phone." And so I dashed back up about 50 yards to go grab my phone from the truck and came back down, aimed my phone in that direction. And instead of taking video, I decided to go with the high definition photos with my iPhone 10 and started snapping directions or snapping photos off in the direction of the cloud that I had last seen the object near. And so that'll correlate with photo one, of which you can definitely make out a saucer, clearly with two kind of portals in the upper quadrants there. And then I continued to watch, and it looked like there was like a spark or a sparkle kind of near it, not it itself, but kind of near it, lower than it in the horizon above the water. So I took another photograph, and that would correlate with photo two, where you can actually see what looks like a little white cigar. I would estimate 100 meters below it based on some information I've had since. I didn't know at the time what I was really looking at. It just seemed odd. My father had chimed in at this point saying, "Look over there." And so he was looking further along the sky, and he had seen something as well. So I kind of dragged my phone across and fired off, I think, three photos, of which one I think I zoomed in. He had spotted them further down, well further down, almost to the other end of West Seattle. And it was the same two craft that I had photographed previously, like within a breath, all the way at north. So from my point of view, that group of objects traveled the entire length of the city in a portion of a second. And so I didn't know that at the time. I just was taking photographs and looking at these strange objects that were moving across the sky. The saucer, I must admit, I would see, and then it would be gone and it would move. It kind of looked like it shuddered. It shuddered across the sky, like you'd see it, and then it would somewhere else. It almost wasn't moving. It was almost popping across the sky. It was very odd. It was moving in a very odd way. Definitely not a plane. I mean, definitely not a helicopter. I mean, as I'm kind of interpreting this stuff, watching it, I was like, okay, well, it's not a trick plane. It's not something doing an advertisement, pulling something behind it. There were planes flying as well, and I actually have a photo of a plane. You can totally make out the wings. And from my perspective, the plane was even further away, but you could make out fuselage, you could make out wings. It's a good camera. You could really determine what was what. From there, this is where the story gets a little strange, because even at the time, we knew we were seeing something that was out of the ordinary. And it makes me breathless even thinking about it, because at the time, the whole family, there was eight of us. We were all looking up there. We were all interpreting the same information, all well-versed in science and what flies and well-versed in the area. You know, there's an airport there. So planes are clear. The sky is clear. There shouldn't be these things doing what we were seeing them doing. It was just incredible. The next part of the story, you may have to just hold on to your disbelief, suspend that, and just listen with an open mind, because it's incredible. The little white cigar-shaped object stopped, and it seemed to fire a thread-like beam and open what appeared to be a three-dimensional square or box in the sky, of which it appeared that something either entered or exited through that square. And my photographs clearly show that. I have high-definition photos of that actual sequence taking place. Exactly what I described, the photo shows. I didn't know at the time, because it did just look like a big, bright, white square. But in recollection, even though we were down by the water, it did seem like there could have been some noise from it. My mother seems to recall a pop in the initial sighting, in the initial portion of the sighting. I don't recall a second pop when it opened, but there may have been one. Other family members do remember that. The next photo shows that square kind of collapsing in on itself and almost like being retracted, collapsing in on itself up into this little white cigar craft. And then the next photo shows the saucer way down the horizon, far off in the distance, and you can still make it out. My initial photo, the very first one, I think, shows two saucers with one white cigar, of which perhaps the initial pop that my mother heard was that little white square opening the first time. I don't have a photo of that, so I don't know, but something attracted her attention there. It's very odd. It's very odd. And my whole family was hit by level of strangeness to the point where we all decided that I would make a report to MUFON. And so that's what I did.
Good stuff. And when they left the square box, they all went off in the same direction, or?
Yeah, they kept traveling south, further south down the coastline. It was definitely something coordinated. I feel solidly about the stuff I have on film. The stuff that happened before and after, I'm fuzzy on, because I can only go by what I saw. But I do have some theories. Definitely some theories. So initially, it just seemed like something that could potentially be something military. And so that was my thought initially, that MUFON would handle that, discover that. And if it needed to be something that was just left at military, that's great. I would be fine with that. MUFON's report came back with UAP. They couldn't determine what it was. I have yet to be contacted by the experience or research team. The contact I've had with MUFON, it's been helpful. But it didn't really feel that there was any real time restraint on their end. And I wanted more answers than I was getting, I guess. And so I was hoping that someone else out there had either seen the same thing. I know there's sightings all the time, but my sighting was really specific. When this was not on my radar, this wasn't on our family's radar. We weren't UFO buffs, we're science buffs, we're astronomers. MUFON determined that this wasn't something that was from the airport. They looked everything up on radar. There was actually nothing in the air except one plane that had landed, which I actually had a photograph of, but it was on its down portion. So it shouldn't have been in the air in the locations that I had these photos. There was no weather anomalies from the National Weather Reporting Service. There is military air bases around there. I don't know if MUFON contacts them. I know that according to them, they reported there was nothing in the air. And so they determined UAP. They determined there was no tampering with any of my photographs, of course, and that they would like to look into it further. So that's where the case is currently. I just felt so anxious over seeing this, because you can't turn the television on today without seeing reports of white cigar-shaped things flying around in the air, coordinating with other things in the ocean, the military has them on their radar.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
I just feel like this should be something that is looked into perhaps by somebody that would want to know that if these things are flying over townships and cities and they're not showing up on our radar. It's just strange.
Well, they very much are. And as far as the military admitting to something, it's theirs, probably not.
Right. I mean, I feel like even describing the sequence of events that happened, I'm not doing it justice, you know, because it was so clear in the sky and such clear photographs. Like, it blows my mind that other people weren't able to see this or have the same photos or have any kind of report corroborating this happening over Western Seattle.
I mean, it's a relatively populated bay, isn't it? So very quite possibly there was ever witnesses to the event.
And it just goes unreported to the same agency that I reported to, perhaps.
And predominantly a lot of people probably wouldn't report it in any case.
Right.
You know, a lot of sightings go unreported.
I think if my whole family hadn't seen it, I may not have, but everyone felt so... We were talking about it for days. And these are all people trying to come up with logical explanations based on the photos that I had and what they'd seen. And then we are all sitting around putting the sequence of events in a timeline, putting some numbers down and coming up with high speeds, coming up with kind of unexplainable sounds and visuals that just didn't match up to anything that we've ever experienced.
Between the saucer and the cigar shape, were they roughly about the same size?
No, the little white cigar was maybe a grain of rice compared to... Oh, if it's in the sky, it's going to be a dime, actually. So a grain of rice and a dime.
Okay, that's a big difference.
Up in the sky, yeah, if you're like looking in the distance, a grain of rice and about a dime, an American dime. Not shaped like a dime, obviously, but about that same size.
To all our listeners that are following the episode, if you head to UFOChroniclesPodcast.com, and in the description, you can view all the pictures David has sent in today.
There's so much in the current news about Tic Tacs and what they're doing up in the air. That was something new to me until I'd seen unidentified. I didn't know about that. And knowing that I had something so similar on my phone, honestly, I got nervous. I got nervous because his report matched what my family had seen, matched what my mom had seen, like really well, because she saw a little bit more than I did. I had to go back for my phone. I missed a bit. And maybe she'll give you her story sometime too, but she saw a bit more than I did and that I have recorded. And I'm actually not sharing her story simply because I don't know it, you know, as well as she does. But it's just that realm of high strangeness. It's hard to place in any box that I currently have in my knowledge of science. And I just feel like it should be investigated. Someone should take a good look at my photos. They should question my family members, find out what it is, at least to the point where maybe we could investigate that it's potentially doing something odd above our cities and towns. I've had a very strange feeling since exposed to this information and what we saw. It's kind of like put something new into my water. Like, now I look under the stone, you know, I've taken the red pill. At this point, I feel like I notice more things. There are things flying that are odd. There are a lot of natural things out there definitely, like you were saying. But since then, I've had my camera much closer so that hopefully I'll get more and better photos next time that would get more attention, because I feel like MUFON could have done more. Or maybe they plan to and are just very busy, because that's very possible too in this area of the United States, that they're just very busy.
Yeah, it's a very active area. I'd imagine they get pretty swamped with reports.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of time you're working on secondhand information, and especially there's never really a trace, because obviously things are up in the air. And once you've done distance and then you've studied the radar, the weather, there's not really...
What more can you do, right?
Not more you can do other than document as much as possible.
It's a frustrating field to get into and to be thrown into. And it's frustrating to be an experiencer, and you don't know that until you are one. And I say experiencer just by anyone that has seen something that they're not sure of. You get a weird feeling. And it's that feeling that kind of makes you want to know a little bit more. And then you scratch it and you're suddenly like, now, look, I can't stop scratching. And the information I'm finding is all new and it's interesting. And the potential is huge. Who doesn't want to think that we're being visited? Do I, even after this, think? And here's the strangest part, Nick. I have photographs. I experienced it. I saw it. Do I believe it? No. I don't. Logically, I still can't think that that's what I saw. I can't think that I just saw a tic-tac shoot a laser, open a portal, and allow a spaceship to come in, either in or out. And now saucers are flying around from another dimension, time, whatever. Is that what I photographed? Yes. Is that what my family came to as a conclusion? Yes. Do I believe it? No. I can't get myself to think it, even experiencing it. And I'm sure that people that go through this have that same feeling of you're just trying to talk yourself into the reality that you've been raised on. You know, it's ingrown in you. It's a tough one. I'm still struggling with it, but I have my camera and I have those photos and I revisit them a lot. I don't share them online up until you. This is, other than MUFON, no one has heard about this case. No one's seen the photos. At first, I was scared to show them, thinking that they could be military secrets. But if MUFON doesn't know, I think that it's safe to put it out there, as we don't know. That just makes me want everyone to have a piece of it and to struggle with what I'm struggling with. You know, I hope one of your listeners has had an experience similar, and I hope that they can relate or come up with some corroborating information. Just anything more. Anything more would be great, because it's frustrating to people that are looking for those answers or just looking for a chunk. I'm not looking for the whole piece. You know, it's tough. And your gig is tough too, Nick, because you're the filter. And so you hear a lot of interesting stories. And I believe every one of your listeners believes their story the same way I believe mine. And they're frustrated with the fact that I want everyone to know and to understand that this is real to me without thinking that they're nuts, because it's nuts. It's a nuts topic. We have to revisit it.
It's quite often I hear the same thing. They've said exactly what you have. I don't believe what I've just seen.
Yeah. And I think CE5 and the stuff that Greer is doing is real. I think that stuff is real. Do I believe it? No, I can't. It's too incredible. Do I want to do it? Yes. The same way, you know, I think everyone wants to travel to the reaches of space and have that experience just to see what's there. It's just incredible. And I think we are in good times. I do think times are changing. You know, we as the public, I feel like we're pretty accepting of the stuff the media is putting out there. We always have been, but I think even more so now, you know, with shows like your show and others that are credible, that do have that filter, I think that's helpful, because honestly, I think that we need to get back to that good level of science that, you know, people like Dr. Greer, historians like Dolan, and, you know, all the real researchers, these people are working hard to get facts out to us. And I think we're becoming more accepting the more we know. And my experience made me open. This was not something anyone in my family had ever thought of. It was pure entertainment. And then in a matter of 2 minutes, drastically changed the minds of 8 level-headed folks, you know, down to earth, real people that had their minds changed. So there's got to be something more to it. And I do think that applying science is the answer if we can possibly figure out a level, you know. And I know that there's lots of science out there, but I don't think it's covering this topic well enough. There's still the laughter factor, you know.
I agree. And definitely needs more scientists to come forward, more journalists to look at it differently, you know, look at it with more sincerity. It's exciting times, you know, and the more come out and speak about it, the better. A lot of people, you know, don't talk about this. You know, they don't talk about what they've experienced, what the family have experienced. You know, it's a shame. So, yeah, the more people talk about it, the better.
And just having your camera ready, because a story is a story, but just having anything to corroborate it. Like, if I didn't have the photos, you and I may not be talking right now. I probably would have just crossed that off in my head and forgotten it. But I had the photos, and it wore on me, and I felt that this was real, and I'm a real person, and I know I'm credible. I know my family are a very credible group of scientists and logical-minded people. So the photos helped, because otherwise it would still just be a story. Anything that can help, there's a little bit of data to be retrieved from even my photos. And that was really why I wanted it to get out there, mostly because maybe my photos could help in any way to somebody that is on the science end.
And of course, also the problem is a lot of people that you know, they see stuff and a camera, even though we have these phones on us constantly now, the last thing people think of is taking a picture. They just, a lot of time, they're too much in awe of what they're seeing.
Absolutely. It's not on the forefront of your thoughts.
I've been there, you know, I'm exactly the same.
You're just in such awe. And there's a very strange feeling that happens while you're watching it. Your brain isn't functioning the same way, it feels like. It feels like it's interpreting data it's never interpreted before. So you're not like camera. You're like interpret. It's still in interpret mode. Your feet are glued. The fact that I have a little bit of a film background helped, because I'm like, document. So I went and got the best photos I could get of what I thought I was seeing, and, you know, and there they are.
That's great, David.
It's been fun. It's been really fun sharing the story. I feel better for at least getting it out there, and I hope that your listeners enjoy it. And if anyone ever has any questions, I encourage them to ask you, because you're going to be as well-knowledged on this as I am by the end of this. It's hard to relive a little bit. And it's hard to I feel like I still forgot some parts, you know, but time stood still there for 2 minutes for me. You know, there was a lot of things happening. Thank you so much for having me on. And I look forward to talking more with you.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your experience and your photographs.
You bet.
That is all for this week, I'm afraid. If you or a family member has had an experience and would like to share it on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. Thank you to our guest, David, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.